chapter 8. I'm not beginning this lesson yet. Again, I'll begin in just a moment. I do have three sermons today. And God willing, I'm going to preach them all by lunchtime. Then Reagan will be in charge of the afternoon service. I have a sermon, which will be our first sermon, on how to discern a work of grace in your children. That will be this hour. Then sometime between 11 and 12, I have a sermon on communion and a sermon on tithes and offerings. All are sermons that our church needs to hear. So you be in prayer for me that I'll be wise and astute with God's time and your time and the delivery of these sermons. And you be in prayer that the work of God the Holy Spirit will be in our midst today in every moment of our worship. Before I give you the specific text of this morning's focus, let me remind you of a few things that we've discussed regarding how to discern a work of grace in your children. One, you are the image of God to your child, both mother and father, male and female. Two, you are a receptor, a refractor, and a conveyor of light to your child, just as Monet was a receptor, a refractor, and a conveyor of light. Three, there is an inseparable dynamic between the demonic and the doctrinally false. There is another spirit whom you or your child can receive. That other spirit brings another gospel, which is grace turned. And that other spirit which brings another gospel, thus turning grace, brings your own personal Jesus. A quick summary for those of you who would like a Betty Crocker presentation of this topic. Your spiritual discernment will be exactly proportionate to the time you spend in God's Word and prayer. There, is that sweet enough for you? You'll be no more discerning than you study God's Word. You'll be no more discerning than you pray. You'll be no more discerning than you're filled with the Spirit of the living God. If you have spiritual discernment, you must yourself experience the grace of God, and you must yourself know intimately the God of grace. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. This is a text I can't get away from, and it's tangential to our discussion about how to discern a work of grace in the lives of our children, but it's also tangential to our previous series on the rearing of sons, or more generally, the rearing of sons and daughters, especially as it relates to the discipline of children. My father's very wise. He said, I'm not watching the presidential debates. I'm not watching any of the politics because I don't want it to affect my preaching. Very wise. However, the fact is that many of the principles of constitutional republican democracy are derived from Judeo-Christian tradition. I'm very concerned about the amendments to the Constitution and violation of them by our contemporary government. I think our government is in violation of Amendment 1. I think it is in violation of Amendment 2. And it bothers me at a political level to think what Thomas Jefferson would do if he would tell Peter to put his sword up in his sheath in the context of political violations of the amendments. More about that another time. Your government is also in violation of the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution. And here is the Sixth Amendment to the Constitution. Quote, "In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense." Your government, the government of the United States of America, is in violation of that amendment to the Constitution, which guarantees, quote, the right to a speedy, trial, close, quote. The idea of a speedy trial in this society is a laughable matter. In fact, it is an absurd and ridiculous matter. In fact, the worse the crime, the longer the time until the trial occurs, and the more it costs you. Your government is in violation on that. But are you in violation of that as a parent? That idea of a speedy and fair trial is rooted in a biblical principle which can be found in the book Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11. Listen. Because sentence... And you should memorize this verse. And what does your text say, Eric, for the word sentence?
When a sentence is not executed.
Oh, I'm so thankful they kept the word sentence. Tim. A sentence is a sentence is a sentence. Sentence in the judicial sense does not mean a period of elongated or abrogated time. It means a group of words declared and decreed. Now, the Hebrew word for sentence in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 is not the common Hebrew word for word. It is pithgam. And pithgam means, listen, a decree, a formal utterance, and often a legal utterance. Pithgam, a decree. And thus you see the court scene where there is an accused, there is a prosecutor, there is a defender, there is a jury, and there is a judge, and the judge pronounces a pithgam, a sentence. And that sentence will be a group of words exerting a decree. More often, the King James translators, and I'm thankful that NET translators kept this tradition of judicial meaning in the word sentence. More often in the Hebrew Bible, the word is dabar, where we get the word Deborah. Deborah means a woman of the word. Dabar means an utterance or decree. In fact, the idea of dabar in Hebrew carries with it the sense of a formal oracle. And thus, when a judge in a courtroom makes a pithgam, makes a debar, it is a formal oracle. In fact, a judge on a lesser terrestrial plane is very much like God when he makes the pithgam, the debar, the sentence. He's giving forth an oracle. And that oracle is an oracle of justice. And if it is indeed an oracle of justice, it is an oracle of righteousness, both in terms of the law and in terms of the penalty for violation of the law. The pithgam is an oracle of justice, that is an oracle of righteousness, because the law is righteous and the penalty imposed upon the violation of the law is righteous. And not only is it an oracle of justice, but it is an oracle of power. And I could editorialize very easily here and ask the question, where is the justice in our court system? Where is the power in our court system? Most murderers on death row should already be dead. It shouldn't take over 24 hours to execute a child molester and mutilator. If you have the proof, kill him. It would be just, and it would have power. When we went to war with Saddam Hussein under George Herbert Walker Bush, I raised the question, how shall it be for the United States of America to face a nation more righteous than she? A nation more righteous in its accedance to the law. A nation more righteous in its accedance to the righteousness of right and wrong and the punishment for wrong. We are a nation of relativists. They, in large part, and the Arabic nations in large part, nation of absolutists who uphold the law by pithgam, by debar, by utterance, by oracle, oracle powerful, and oracle righteous. And what kind of judge are you with regard to your children? David prayed, O Lord, let none of my words fall to the ground. Here is an impotent king. Here is a king to be despised. Here is a king to be denigrated. Here is a king to be dethroned. Here is a king who is no king. A king who speaks pithgam. A king who speaks devar, and a king whose words fall to the ground. Where is the divine oracle there? Where is the power? Where is the justice? Where is the force? Where is the righteousness? Why, it is not there. It's just sound. It's no power, no force, no righteousness, no effectual method or end. And some parents are that way. And like the impotent king, they deserve to be despised. Because their words are impotent. Their justice anemic. This is the parent who says to his child, do this, and the child doesn't do it. This is the parent who says to his child, don't do this, and the child does it. This is the parent who hath no pithgam, no utterance in his word. Now, in a theological sense, your responsibility as a parent is to inculcate your child with the knowledge of God's holy law. We've talked about the law written upon the heart and conceived by conscience, and your role as a parent to reinforce God's law. You reinforce the idea that children are to worship only one God, Yahweh. You reinforce the idea. You speak it in their ears, show it in their eyes, and demonstrate it in your life that they are not to be idolaters, that they're not to take God's name in vain, that they're not to violate the Sabbath, that they're not to kill, steal, even hate or covet, that they're not to dishonor their parent, especially by defying a parent's word. You're to inculcate and reinforce God's law in your child. That's how you build up sensitivity to conscience. Taking that raw material of the human being and restaurare imago Dei, line upon line, precept upon precept, you build up your child's conscience as a thundering, bright Sinai. And not only do you build your child's consciousness of the law, that you may speak a pithgam, but you build your child's consciousness of the danger of violation of God's law. And the way you do that is by certain and swift justice. Now, if you want to make your child more a child of hell, then do not build the law up in the child's life. If you want to make your child more a child of hell, then build up the law, but don't enforce the law. If you want to make your child more a child of hell, then teach the child the gospel, including the law and grace, but expect no experiential proof of that in the child's life, especially as it relates to punishment when the child violates God's law or your own word as a parent. Or, king who is no king, queen who is no queen. Build your child's morality in the law. Build your child's conscience in the gospel of grace, and then show them this. Then show them that your word, your pithgam, your dabar, is but a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal, a hollow ring that has no punitive justice. This is the parent who says don't or do, and then says don't or do again, and then says don't or do again, and then says don't or do again, and this says don't or do, please don't let me hear you say that again, and cannot have the power in his own mind or hand to change the behavior of the child, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the hearts of the sons of men are set in them to do evil. You see, a sentence doesn't involve merely the upholding of the righteousness of the law, but of the punitive force of the law as well. And the parent who does not establish both in the home is ungodly. Let me say that again. The parent who does not establish both the moral radiance of the law and its punitive fire is ungodly. How can you be like God if your law is not both bright and burning, both radiant and purgative, both righteous and punitive? And you see the child who is perennially rebellious, the child who has to be persistently, consistently corrected by the parent. Why? Why? And let me say here to any parent here or who will hear this tape, I cannot conceive of a parent who will let a child win. That is beyond me. And some of you young men who have little boys don't know yet the power of a prodigal. And some of you young mothers who have not raised the daughter to adolescence don't know the power of a prodigal. You think winning is reddening the buttocks with the wooden spoon and getting a whimper. Are you ruling your child in the terrible twos? Are you ruling your child in the early motions of verbal insolence against you? Does your child slap at you? Does your child's tongue slap at you? Are you losing? If so, you are hardening your child's heart. You are helping fallen Adam in them. You are bending Lucifer's wing wider and broader over your child's heart. If your child's winning, if you're not establishing justice, justice in righteousness, justice in punitiveness, you are fanning the flames of hell for your child. You're hardening his or her heart. Parent, if you are godly, you'll be like God. You will write a law in your child's heart so hot and bright, it will be as if it were a pen with a pin of iron and a point of a diamond. It will smoke and thunder and rock and shake like Sinai. This morning, Mount St. Helens is burping and bulging. So should your child's heart with a hot magma of divine righteousness. If you're doing your job as a parent, the law will burn in your child's heart. And will burn in such a way that your child cannot sin except in light. Your child cannot sin except in the presence of the Sinaitic angels. Your child cannot sin except in the sound of the Sinaitic trumpet. Your child cannot sin except in the face of a flash of lightning from the very feet of God Almighty. And if you establish a Sinai in your child's heart as a godly parent, it will be not only a Sinai of morality, but also a Sinai of justice. It will be a Sinai that not only illuminates the conscience and the will and the reason, but it will be a Sinai which by the grace of God will transform the conscience. When your child violates the law of God, brightly shown in the conscience which you have trained, a swift and fair trial, a swift and fair sentence will train up that child in the way he should go. Sermon 1. May we stand together. Father, we pray for your presence and power here today. Rebuke impotent parents who dishonor the image of God by letting their words fall to the ground. Sting them. Sting their hide. Sting their heart by this sermon. Rebuke them. Humble them. Convict them that they are not like God. And may the righteousness of God burn in the law inwritten upon the hearts of our children. Father, rebuke that parent as well who defies the very law of God he would inculcate by stripping it of justice and swift justice at that. Rebuke that parent, Father. There can be no law of morality without a guarantee and execution of punishment. While we despise the failure of our courts in this nation, which have twice offended the law of God, twice in that we make a mockery of immorality and fail to execute vengeance speedily, shall we, hypocrites, chide the courts of earth when we mock the courts of heaven? God help us. In Christ's name.